Are we ready?
We sure are. We're on the air, beautiful. Welcome.
Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, along with a very special friend by the name of Dr. Richard Presser. Richard?
Good evening, everyone. My goodness, I wondered if this evening would ever happen, where we got Carolyn back on the radio after all that she has been through. But here she is. What a milestone.
Indeed. And I'm delighted to be here, knowing that you all are there and I am here and we're exchanging messages, and it's just beautiful. And I wanted to tell you a little something about our guest tonight. Richard did send out an email, and hopefully you're on the email list and you got information about this. But tonight, Edgar Cayce is going to be our guest. And he tapped me on the shoulder and asked to be on the show. God bless him. He said he had a message for everyone. And I'm excited, as you might be, to hear what he has to say. When I first started on this path, you might say I started with Edgar Cayce. His book about him, There Is a River. And I just loved his work. And so for him to come to me and ask to be on the show tonight was very exciting. And I hope you are looking as forward to tonight as I am. So for those of you who might not be familiar with our radio shows, I would like to mention for you to put your awareness in your heart center and in your third eye. And you might get the same sort of awareness that Richard has when he does this. So Richard, would you be kind enough to tune into Edgar Cayce and tell us what you hear and what you find and what you feel?
I'm very happy to do that. Actually, it was very interesting. I connected with him just before the beginning of this call, and he just about bowled me over. He was so excited to be joining us here. He felt so honored and privileged to be, you might say, our first guest after the dramas of the last few months. And so, he's very much here. So let me share my experience of him. I experience this man, though obviously he's not in physical form anymore, very heart-centered, you might say, which to me gives a sense of integrity and of love. And if anything, there is also a little color, what I would describe a little left of center, which in a way gives a sense of the character of the man, a sense of almost quirkiness perhaps about him, but quite a clear, strong energy. Those of you who have listened to the earlier radio show we did with Edgar Cayce, you might remember, I think we spoke in that radio show, that he indeed was an incarnated cherubim who came forth at that time in a way to sow some seeds, you might say, prepare some groundwork for the unfolding of things. So he has a very close connection to perhaps many of you that are either listening to this live or listening to the recording. But a beautiful energy, beautiful, clean, clear energy. Would you like me to move on to see what he has to say to us, Carolyn?
Yeah, let's do that. Would you? Because I'm kind of anxious to find out what he, the reason he has come.
Me too. I appreciate the opportunity to come forth, as I said to Richard before the beginning of this show, as your first guest since Carolyn's fall, that tremendously difficult journey that she has walked. Some of you listening to this will know that she really was on death's door. That is the only way to describe it. And those that are close to the work of these two will know that indeed this was something that was planned. Of course, it was not something that could be spoken of to or known by the egoic self, you might say. And its purpose was really to ensure that those who were also very debilitated and whose souls had chosen to participate in what is unfolding in this time, that all of those could be, you might say, swept up by this energetic gesture, this move to, you might say, death's door, and the recovery therefrom that Carolyn has walked through and indeed is still walking through. So it has been a dramatic time for her, and so many of us on the other side have watched. This might sound bizarre for someone coming from where I am, but our hearts in our mouths as she walked this path, because it has been very difficult. And so I take it as an honor to be here and speaking with your audience and through you on this special, special occasion. And the key reason I wanted to come forth was in part because of the connection that I mentioned in my last show that I had with this time. That is, in ways I came forth to demonstrate in what you might consider modern times, the ability to channel, the ability to undertake remote healing, the ability to bring forth information about the past, and indeed to begin to refresh within the consciousness of humanity the knowledge of the existence of Atlantis, or that Atlantean consciousness, which in many ways was a global consciousness, though its peak, you might say, was in that original continent of Atlantis, then became the islands as the continent broke up, and finally the final island went below the sea. So I came forth to, in part, refresh the awareness of this in the human consciousness, because so many attempts had been made to suppress the existence of this prior advanced civilization upon your planet. And so you might consider that I was the reconnoitering crew for what is unfolding in this time. So many of my cherubim brothers and sisters have come forth in this time to assist in so many ways with preparation of this time. So much energetic work has been done, and also quite a number have come forth prompted to undertake key research, whether it was about the Mayan calendar or indeed ancient civilizations and so many other threads of information about the world in which you live, to bring these to the surface, you might say, in a manner not dissimilar to what I did in my time in relation to the kind of skills that you are currently displaying here in speaking with me. And so I particularly wanted to come forth to reinforce, as you might say, the connection that I had with this special time in which you find yourselves, but also to come forth with a powerful statement, you could say, of the truth of what you are all doing, the specialness of the time in which you exist. It is a phenomenally important moment in the history of this planet, though not only this planet, indeed this entire cosmos. Because although some of you are aware of this, very few in truth are aware of the fact that, firstly, there is this special moment when there is this alignment with galactic center, this special moment which occurs every some 13,000 years, where there is this alignment with galactic center as a result of the precession of the equinoxes. So this happens, as you might say, infrequently, and indeed the last time it occurred was at the time of the fall in Atlantis. So I wanted to remind people of this moment. But also, in addition to this, it is the time when the fall, you might call it, in the time of Atlantis, at the ending of that Atlantean civilization, that highly advanced human state that existed then, that this is the moment when that will be recovered from. And I know many of you have heard this on other occasions, and many of you that have heard it have had great doubts about whether this could possibly be true. But it is the time, and I wanted to reassure you of this, and also to have you understand that one of the first steps in this process is the recovery of the state of the physical human form to that which was held in the time of Atlantis. You today cannot imagine what that physical form was like. In simple terms, I will say to you that it carried a perfection that you do not see today. You often are drawn to what you consider beautiful people in the world. So often these are film stars or models or individuals of this nature. And yet even those examples do not really do justice to the perfection, the great beauty that the physical form carried in that time. And I don't mean an occasional individual, but truly every individual carried this perfection. And the physical body did not age as it does today. Yes, there were certain things which could cause some degradation in that perfection, but these were usually managed, and the physical body did not deteriorate with age as it does today. Perhaps more important than all of this was the way the soul, you might say, would shine forth. The light of the soul would be expressed through the clothes of the individual. So, in a sense, there was this display, an involuntary display of the power of the soul that that individual carried. You may not understand this, but different souls incarnate with different numbers of soul particles. And also, you all come forth from different monads. There is, you might say, a form of royalty in your world today. But really, true what you might consider royalty is expressed through the power of the soul, the expression of the soul, because true royalty arises from key leaders in the cosmos. And so individuals would stand out, you might say, in the awareness of others through the light that would shine forth from their heart centers, the home of the soul within the bodily form. I mention these things to you so you begin to get a sense of what you will be returning to as these events unfold, because you will reclaim all of this. Soul will not shine forth in this way for most people until beyond the shift in consciousness, that ascension event, which will see those who participate in this shift moving to another dimension, a dimension where the planet is pristine, a dimension where your capabilities as humans will be reclaimed, where this veiled consciousness that you exist in, where you are really living so focused in the now with such a veil over your memories of your true skills and abilities and what it truly means to be a human being, or indeed for that matter, a soul that exists in creation. All of this will be reclaimed, and as this unfolds, that light will begin to be expressed once more through the clothing. It is a magical event that awaits all of you. And so I wanted to come forth and paint a little of this picture for you, because it is so easy to become disheartened by the seeming lack of progress, the seeming lack of unfolding of events, the events that you have so long awaited. So many of you expected everything to unfold at the December solstice of 2012, and of course it did not. There were indeed special energies that arrived at that time, and you might say the shift in things began in earnest. The energies flushed out so many that were opposed to this shift, because either they simply were opposed to the progression of any spiritual form, not only of humanity, but also some were opposed because they felt that humanity did not deserve this gift. Because understand that where you will move to with these changes is to what is broadly considered to be the angelic dimension, the highest dimension that any beings carrying a physical form have ever existed. It is hard for you to imagine this, but it is a gift to humanity, in part because of the tremendously challenging experiences that you have all been through. So I come as a reminder, you might say a harbinger of good news, a stake in the ground, you might say, that you can grasp upon as you see so many negative events in your world, so many negative forces at work, as you begin to truly understand the scope of the manipulation and control that indeed has been imposed upon humanity over hundreds and in some cases thousands of years. It is difficult to strip this away because it becomes just the way life is. And all of this is gradually being exposed, and it will be fully exposed and understood as events unfold. So I wanted to come forth and refresh my connection, you might say, with your time, because the threads that I sowed in my time, in my lifetime, doing the work that I did as the so-called sleeping prophet, where I demonstrated the abilities to channel, the abilities to recall past life experiences, not just of my own, but more particularly those with whom I was working. The stories that came forth from that work astounded many. They astounded even me, because I did not understand it until I began to do this work. And of course, I understand what my mission was far more now where I am than I did whilst I was alive. And so I come forth to refresh that connection, to refresh the message that my life put into the skeins of time, the energetic grid that surrounds the planet, the reminder of these truths of the ability of the human being and the history of humanity that included that high time of Atlantis. And so, my dear friends, this is the heart of my message. And if you have any questions for me, I am very willing to accept them.
Thank you, Richard, and thank you, Mr. Casey. And I would like to invite any of our listeners who wish to call in with your questions. This would be a good time to call in, and we will forward them to Mr. Casey. Richard, did you have any questions for him?
Not at the moment, Precious. Do you have some that you wanted to bring forth?
Well, this change is so long in the fulfillment. It has been so long in the fulfillment. Does Mr. Casey have any idea as to when this change will occur? In other words, when will humanity reach for the fifth dimension?
Let me see what he has to say. As you know, there are, you might say, rules that relate to the consciousness in which you find yourselves. And these rules relate to how much can be shared with you about your future. And this is what has, in some cases, caused inaccuracies to be shared with you, but more particularly the truths of the unfolding of events to be shielded from humanity. But I have some good news for you, because the truth of the matter is that you have now reached the time where these changes are sufficiently advanced that those restrictions have now been eliminated. And so I can say to you, without fear or favor, that you are standing in the moments of time when these events will become part of your experience. Those who are close to your work are aware that, for example, the recent supernova that was detected in January, so-called supernova 2014 J, is the most powerful supernova that has impacted your planet since that supernova of 1987 A, which in fact began these processes. Many people do not understand that there is really nothing wasted in creation. And so that supernova that came as 1987 A was indeed sent or triggered a long time ago, and yet its arrival came at just the right time to begin the preparatory processes in earnest that have led up to the time in which you find yourselves. And so this new supernova is sending key energies that support this physical transformation of which I spoke. So any of you can go and do a search on the internet and find out about this supernova that indeed has begun to come to the planet. And the awareness of this came through Carolyn, through Richard's mother, who crossed over at the end of 2012, and who came and alerted Carolyn to the existence of this supernova, and Richard went and searched it out, and indeed there it was. So it is no accident that this has arrived at this time. It is bringing forth key energies associated with this shift. Of course, many of you will be aware of the power of the astrology of this month of February 2014. So it is a special time, and I will say to you that the final steps in this unfolding, because it has involved many steps, there have been many layers of energy, many expressions of energy of many types that have come to the planet over the last few years, the last four or so in particular, that have, you might say, gathered the momentum that has led to this time and is setting the foundation for what is about to unfold. So this is not sitting off some dramatic distance in your future, but it will be very, very soon in your experience. So be at peace, dear one, as you await for these changes. I know how much you have suffered and are suffering as you wait for these changes to come forth in your experience. It is a very understandable question, and I have answered this, I believe, to the best of my ability.
Yes, you have, and thank you. And for those who do not understand what a supernova is, would you be kind enough to explain in layman's terms what a supernova is?
Perhaps the simplest way to view a supernova is a very rapid, in cosmological terms, very rapid expansion in the energies being sent forth by a star. Usually it is a massive destruction of that body, a key decay process, if you will, though it is not necessarily that. There are a number of events which can cause this sudden outburst, if you will, from a stellar body. So supernova, from your experience, is this brightening in the visible light range, but also in surrounding energy bands. So in simple terms, it is, you might say, an explosion of some sort of a stellar body.
Thank you. Quinn from Tennessee is on line one. Quinn, your question, please. Quinn, on line one.
Jimenez? Are you there?
I can't hear you, Quinn. Are you asking your question?
Hello?
Ah, it's meant to be Roger. Hello, Roger.
Hi, Richard. Carolyn, it's so good to hear your voice. Family's
very
back in town.
Having trouble hearing you, Roger. I don't know whether it's a BBS issue or whether it's your connection. Can you speak up a little?
Can you hear me now?
It's very difficult. Go ahead.
Okay. Is that better? Can you hear me now?
No, I'm not sure why it's quite so quiet. I can just hear you in the background.
All right, I'll try. Otherwise, I'll call back. But so good to have Carolyn back. A family complete once again. The question that I have for Edgar is, could he comment on Obama at the moment? You know, things seem to be falling down completely, and, you know, I think a lot of people feel that he's not the person that they expected him to be, and I know there's a lot of pressure going on, but could he comment on it?
Okay, thank you, Roger. I think I understood your question. Your question was, could Edgar Cayce comment on Obama, that it's a difficult time, there are lots of pressures and so on, but I guess the essence of your question was a lot of people with a spiritual interest, you might say, had great hopes and expectations of what he would do and how he would operate, and it doesn't seem like he's operating according to that kind of agenda. Would that be a fair summary of what you are asking?
Fantastic. Perfect.
Oh, there you are. That's much better. Very good. So let us see what he has to say.
Okay.
There have been many who have been concerned about the behavior of Obama as President of the United States. And it is important to recognize that it matters little who or what the soul of the individual is in that current consciousness, that they are really bound in what they can do. It is very narrow. It is a public role, you might say, that does not carry the power that the public thinks it does. It is simply a public role for the most part, because the structure of government is nothing like the public sees it to be. It is not widely understood, for example, that the United States of America, as it is run, really is a corporatized structure. It is not structured in the way that people, for the most part, understand it to be. But in fact, is a run as a business. And the so-called elected officials really are fulfilling figurehead roles. And so Obama has very little true power in his role, and is like all recent presidents, and with the exception perhaps of one or two, they have been subject to very close and guarded control and have been subjected to threats to ensure that they do exactly as they are told to do. So there is truly very little flexibility that Obama has in the fulfillment of his role, even down to the presidential decrees that he signs. They look like they are of his choice, but in truth they are not. And so these executive orders are not really things that he is choosing. He simply has the role to execute them in the public domain. So don't be confused by this for the public imagery called democracy in your country, or indeed in any other for that matter, because the game is truly run from behind the scenes. And this will continue until these transitions are firmly in place and visible, and the true disempowerment of those who truly control the game begins in earnest. And we are very close to that moment. And when these things begin to change, I anticipate that you will begin to see a different Obama. This man does come from a truly important soul. His monad has sent forth prior presidents, as perhaps you know, and there is a role of leadership that monad takes, not only on this planet but elsewhere. And so that does not guarantee that the incarnated individual will necessarily fulfill the mission that they have taken on. But I am optimistic that when events truly begin to unfold, and the power is eliminated from those who control the world from behind the scenes, you might say, but you will begin to see a different Obama. So that is my perspective, but the only way to assess this will be when things begin to unfold as I have described.
Thank you so much. We look forward to that. We often wonder who are the ones that are the power behind the front, so to speak. Are you able to comment on that in any way?
There are many threads to this conversation, as you know. And I think, given the time that you are in, that it is actually useful to examine some of these threads. Firstly, to look at this at the highest level. There are forces, you might say, that were, you might consider dark forces, that were seeking to control all things. For some reason, I'm getting my voice fed back to me. Does somebody who has a line open also have something else, their computer open as well? If you do, could you please close that? And so these forces arose way beyond this cosmos, and their desire was to control all creation, all expressions of creation, for their own benefit. And they existed before the creation of this cosmos, and indeed were, you might say, integrated into this cosmos as it was created. There was a long plan to see their time brought to an end, and the time in which you find yourselves is just that time. When one looks at the journey of humanity, then indeed there have been those who represent those forces who have come forth almost from the very beginnings of the path of humanity on this planet and have sought to take control of it. And you might know that the fall in Atlantis was, you might say, triggered by the activities of these Dark Ones as they overtook the priest class within Atlantis. And indeed, if you look down through time since the fall in Atlantis, you will again see those forces at work in the priest class, in so many religions and in so many societies over time. This has been their path to power. You might say grasping directly or indirectly the so-called spiritual threads or graspings of human population. So there is this great distinction that I would make between religion and spirituality for this reason. So those forces have been at work for thousands of years. And if you look in your current time, there is what you might consider an unholy alliance between the most powerful forces within religion and those that control the banking and financial systems in the world, and through those systems, pretty much everything that goes on the planet, whether it be oil companies or mining companies or banks. All of these forces, you might say, are all aligned and connected. And indeed, there are dark, what you might call, satanic practices, dark religious practices, perhaps, where there are abuses, there are murders and killings to harvest the negative energies. These practices permeate the highest levels of most of the religions upon the planet, most of what you might consider secret societies, and indeed those who control the financial world upon your planet, and through that the religious forces as well. And the best known family, you might say, connected to this are those known as the Rothschilds. These ones wield great power in your world and are hidden from the public for the most part. So it is not only this family, but there are others associated with them that represent the key controlling forces on the planet, and they bubble up in so many ways in the expression of life. For example, the creation of the State of Israel is purely a creation of their own efforts. They have truly manipulated the Jewish people on so many levels over such a long period of time to lead to this so-called gift in recognition of the Jewish people, the creation of the state of Israel, which really is a Rothschild state. In addition to this, they control the security elements, so-called security elements, in so many countries of the world. For example, organizations such as the CIA in America are very closely connected to these individuals, as are the key controlling individuals within the military-industrial complex, not only in the United States, but indeed across the planet. So these things give you some sense of where the power really lies. There is very little that unfolds in this world that is not closely controlled by these individuals, and nothing is really allowed to gather steam in the world, you might say, that might threaten this control. An example of this is alternative energy sources that are in any manner opposed to the perception that the world needs fossil fuel or nuclear fuel sources to provide energy in your world, when in truth that is far from the case. And indeed, these alternatives have been suppressed at least back until the time of Tesla some 100 years ago. So these are, you might say, the threads of the forces that have been at work in your world, and they are very, very powerful. They use many techniques to control things. They have very close monitoring systems. They manipulate the economies of the world. They have created all of the wars in the last few hundred years. They have led to or triggered the downfall of so many governments. They were responsible for the depression of the 1930s and so on. All of these things look a particular way to the public, whereas indeed they have a very different nature. All of this is carefully controlled from behind the scenes, and anyone willing to take these forces on in the past has usually paid with the price of their life. But you are in a different time. These things are starting to change. Already some of the people on the planet are protected from any such attempts to interfere with them. There is, you might say, a blind that has been drawn over their presence on the planet, and so they are protected, regardless of how active they might be or vocal they might be. They are protected from these forces, and those that are protected will gradually grow. The numbers will grow, and so the balance of power will shift. The energies are driving this, and so I hope this gives you some better understanding of things.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Mr. Casey. I would like to mention to our audience that we only have 10 minutes before the ending of the show. So if there's a question that you have, call in now and ask it. I guess we might say, or forever hold your peace, huh? Anyway, dear friends, now is the time to call. Certainly some of the things that Mr. Casey said should trigger some reaction to a question. And the toll-free number is 888-627-6008 for Station 1. Thank you. I know a lot of things that Mr. Casey said in that last conversation raised some questions in my mind. So you have maybe time for one question. Call in now, 888-627-6008 for Station 1, and we will get your question to Richard and Mr. Casey. Imagine what a privilege this is, to be able to speak to someone who has such a reputation for the things that he had done while he was living to now. Since we don't have a question from the audience, I will ask him a question. Mr. Casey, you were very interested in healing. And with these new changes that are coming in, would you say that healing is going to be much easier for people using tools that are available to them, since I am very interested in healing also?
The entire conversation of healing will become a very different conversation as these changes unfold. And your question does prompt me to revisit an aspect of my answer that I gave you earlier, because I did not talk about how food has been deeply manipulated upon your planet. There have been efforts put in place running back over 100 years to begin to change the diet of humanity. And this was done in recognition in the minds of those who were controlling things upon the planet that the population was getting very large and, frankly, from their perspective, did not serve their interests. They wished to see a much smaller population upon the planet. And so the food that people consumed as a preference was shifted. Grains were much more strongly encouraged from a dietary perspective. Natural animal fats were discouraged, seen to be negative when in fact they are not. And of course, there has been great manipulation of the grains that are available for humanity to consume, the use of genetic modification to impact their role within the body so that, again, they degrade health. And also there has been a great suppression of the natural healing solutions that are available through plants of various sorts. There are so many natural healing compounds that are available in the flowers and plants and seeds of the planet. And these have been essentially outlawed for the most part as sources of healing, such that certainly those in the Western world turn automatically to their allopathic medical doctor for anything that they might require, which of course leads to the prescription of pharmaceutical drugs, patented drugs. Again, this is all part of the controlled world in which you live. And so, firstly, the understanding of this will propagate through humanity. This knowledge is already held. The value and importance of consuming organic raw fruits and vegetables as a basis for reinforcing or reclaiming the health of the body is so important. But of course, as events unfold, the, you might say, health issues, so many of the health issues that people suffer from in this time will be eliminated. The body effectively will heal itself, almost regardless of whether you consume the ideal foods or not, because on a level, the health messages that come forth also reflect the requirement to convey messages to the individual, even though this signaling process has been long forgotten. So it is a complex question. And perhaps the simplest way to answer it is to say that as these changes unfold, the majority of the so-called health issues for those who participate in this shift will simply be taken care of by these changes coming forth in the body. If you reclaim a perfected human physical form, then implicit in that is the absence of health issues. So, on the one hand, consuming organic raw foods as a foundation is very important to the human physical form today and will trigger a great deal of healing. In a way, all of this will be overtaken by these changes as they come forth.
Thank you, Richard and Mr. Casey. We now have 8 minutes left. Kenneth from California is on line one. Kenneth, would you give us your question quickly, please?
Yes, just a very quick question. So, Dr. Casey, do you have any home remedies for people who are having issue with
I can't hear Kenneth. Can you hear him, Richard?
I can hear him, yes.
Okay, I'll repeat my question. Does Dr. Casey have any natural home remedies for people who are having problem with dandruff, you know, with hair flakes, you know, dry hairs and all that?
Usually these kind of skin conditions are reflective of underlying anxiety. You might consider dandruff to be connected on a very fundamental level to other skin conditions which can emerge in more extreme circumstances. And the key to these is to examine the causes of anxiety in the human form. The more you clear this, the more you understand why stress and anxiety are in your life, the more you will remove the basis for this. The other thing that I encourage you to do is to ensure that you have a very adequate supply of fish oil in your diet. These oils have a great deal of impact on these skin conditions, and I encourage you to ensure that you have an elevated quantity of omega-3 fatty acids in your diet. You will find that these will have a great deal of impact on not only dandruff but also other skin conditions such as sclerosis, these difficult conditions that can occur on the skin. These, again, are all broadly connected.
Oh, great. Thank you.
My friends, we're at the end of the show, and I would like to thank Richard in a very special way for bringing forth Mr. Casey. And I would like to thank Mr. Casey in a very special way for all of the marvelous information that he has brought forth. And so, all of you, my friends, I hope you have enjoyed this as much as I have and have found it the answers as invigorating as I have felt them. Again, thank you, Richard. Thank you, Mr. Casey. Until next time.
Thank you, Carolyn.
This is Carolyn Evers.
It is wonderful to get you back on here at last. And thank you to Ed Casey for coming forth. May we be able to do this on a weekly basis once more as you regain your strength and your health. Good night, everyone. Good night for now.
Good night.